time for us to have our second day of the Modern Resume. And we have with us in our studio...
Hello, everyone. I'm Albert.
And I'm Simon.
And I'm Gunn.
I'm Doris, so stay tuned. Okay, today we're ready for our second day. Are you all ready?
Yeah.
Okay, this lesson is hard to explain, so you read it over and look at it. And what are we talking about now in our class today?
We're talking about resumes, and those, of course, are the summaries of your work experience that you use when you are trying to get a job.
And Simon, you've seen a lot of people's resumes. Do some of them strike you as being a little bit more professional than others?
They definitely do. Some of them are very good. Some of them, you wonder if people are applying to the right industry. Yeah.
What about that, Gordon? Do you think that resumes then are quite important for people nowadays?
Yes, certainly. I always try and have a resume or a CV on the go, as on my computer, and I edit it as things change, so it's always updated. And this is a very helpful article, which is just giving us some tips about how modern resumes are a little bit different from how they used to be in the past.
That's true. And Albert, what were some of the main things that we mentioned yesterday in a review on page 26?
Well, I think overall, my takeaway from yesterday was, you know, streamline your resume, make it easier for the person reading it to absorb the information, make it clear what value you provide.
Right.
Yes. Good. What you provide.
Mm-hmm. Good. What else did we talk about yesterday that might have been important as far as the words or content?
Well, we talked about a number of words that kind of have different meanings in this article than we sometimes think. For example, we talked about resume conventions, which has nothing to do with trade shows or big meetings. Really, it just means normal things you do with resumes, resume rules, I guess.
Resume rules is a good thing.
Yeah, I also found yesterday that it was interesting we spoke about how much online records of your life are now becoming important. We talked about LinkedIn, which is a social networking service where you can have a bigger version of your resume online and people can access the information there. It shows how the industry has changed for how companies get jobs and get people to work for them nowadays.
That's true. LinkedIn is more of a professional one. Now, a lot of people put things about themselves on Facebook, but I've heard several times that people either were fired or not hired because of what they had on Facebook.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, we're just so curious nowadays. Like, it's so easy. You just throw in someone's name in a search engine, and it'll pop up their profile, you know, their Instagram, and their photos of them. So I feel like employers will probably take that extra step and they want to know more about you, and so they would probably Google you or use some kind of search engine. So, you know, you definitely want to watch out what you put on your social media, those pictures, you know, and those different,
or
like
the way you feel about things, or
right.
even words that might be swear words or things they think it's funny or cute. But it's not cute when professional people are looking for you. They don't want you that kind of a person in their company.
Not at all. You know.
Yeah. So keep it clean.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay, so that's what we talked about yesterday. So this is a good time to talk about employment because a lot of people are looking for jobs, and some of them are re-entering the job market because their children are now in school, or for some reason they moved to another country or something. And then there's a lot of people just graduating, isn't that right?
That's right, and they're all looking for jobs, and so resumes will be very important for those people.
And we're going to start on page 27 today, and we've had several things. There's 16 tips. What number are we on today?
We're going to start with number 7 today.
Number 7, that's
and
right.
And it is called Use Keywords.
So let's take 3 at a time. Let's do 7, 8, and 9. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Well, let's ask Steve to read for us.
Seven. Use keywords. Many companies use applicant tracking systems to screen candidates by scanning resumes for position-specific keywords. Use terms, qualifications, skills, position title, and responsibilities from the job posting. 8. Eliminate responsible for in your employment history. emphasize achievements and quantifiable results, not duties. 9. Detail 10 to 15 years of work history. If you have prior relevant experience, create a separate section with just your job titles, company names, and years at each job. Leave off the dates.
Okay, so we start with point number 7, use keywords. This is kind of interesting because it makes it sound like when you're making a resume, you're making a web page, doesn't it?
It does. Keywords.
It does indeed. What it's highlighting is that companies nowadays, when they put out a job advertisement, there'll be certain words that there may be words of skills that they particularly want, and if you can echo those on your resume, that's just great.
Right, and sometimes HR, you know, they'll throw your resume into a database and maybe look at it afterwards, or maybe a few months later they're like, oh, we have a new opening, and then they can search through that database and find you.
So what are these things that you should be making keywords for? Keywords, of course, just being words that are easy to search and give you information about different stuff. And they list here things that you should have your keywords for. So qualifications.
Qualifications is very important.
That means different licenses you have.
If you're not qualified, you don't want to hire you.
That's right. Degrees, exactly. Things like that. Skills, position titles, and responsibilities.
Yeah, so there may be, you may have previously been a manager, so make sure that word's there, and then if someone searches for your resume because they're looking for a manager, they're going to find it.
Yeah, but you also want to use very specific terms. So managers, they do manage, but they also do other things. Like, for example, they make a budget, so you might want to have the word budget in there. They deal with people, and so you might want to say something about team or coordinate a team, very specific phrases about things you've done.
Well, if I want a job in an orchestra, I better tell them if I'm a trumpet player or a French horn player.
Exactly.
Right.
Because they're going to search for trumpet if they need a trumpet player.
Yeah.
Well, you have to let them know, though, on your position title and what you did and so forth. And that's very important because they want to know whether you've done that before, not that you just want to do it, that you have experience doing it.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to want all kinds of information about you. So this is just a helpful way to get them finding what they need quickly.
But number 8, when they say to eliminate, which is the same as to ditch it or get rid of it, eliminate this word, I've been responsible for, seems to me that might be good to say I've been responsible for. Why do you think they said to eliminate it?
Well, I mean, like, you know, people can say I'm the CEO of such company, but anyone can say that. It's just a title thrown around. They want to know, like, what you've achieved. You know, if you're responsible for something, were you good at it?
Okay.
Yeah, and they use
I changed the whole educational system.
Whoa,
yeah,
there we go, you're hired.
They use this term here, quantifiable, which basically means they want you to be able to put it in numbers. And so you don't just want to say you managed a group. You want to say you managed a group that had 7% sales growth over the last 2 years.
Or right.
Very specific numbers of things you have achieved.
And maybe hire him.
Yeah. Yes. And maybe the amount of people in that group, you know, it shows, like, you know, what they can actually measure.
So like you just said there, then you emphasize the achievements you've done, not just that you are qualified to do this and that you've done these duties before, but what were the results when you did the duties?
Yeah, that's true, because you might have been responsible for a number of things in your past job, but you might have been rubbish at them. You might have not done any of those things.
Right. They didn't make any improvements since you were there.
Yeah, so if you have some evidence and you can say, as Simon has said, that we improve the business by this amount, then that's going to help you out.
Okay.
And just to clarify, rubbish is terrible.
That's a British word, you know.
Yeah, that may have been my British slang. It means
trash.
Yeah, by rubbish there, I just meant not very good.
Not good. I understood that, Gordon.
Yeah,
that
I did.
Don't worry. You're not alone here.
Right. But it says in here that, and number 9 says to detail 10 to 15 years of work history.
Wow.
Now, if you're just graduating from high school or college, forget it, you know. But if you're 40 years old or something, you better say something like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about it, Google's maybe 16 years old. So the world has changed a lot in 10 to 15 years. And I guess the idea here is basically you want to present people who might employ you with sort of your most recent work so that they understand which things you are most familiar with now.
If you worked at the post office, now maybe you'd be working on Google instead.
Something like that. That's right. Or Amazon.
I'm surprised that they're listing number 9 to detail 10 to 15 years. I thought they would say something like, you know, list the past 3 companies you worked at or the relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is interesting this, and this seems to have changed over the years. I know like a while ago a lot of people were worried about having gaps in their CV,
right.
Times when they weren't at work. And here,
what
if you're
do
gonna
you
list,
do then, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Times if you're going to list 10 years of stuff, is. And then you've moved jobs a few times, there may be some gaps, but I think as long as you emphasize the important jobs for the job you're applying for, your important history, and then just, as it says here, you just name the past job titles in a list.
There is one thing they add at the end of this point, though, that I actually really disagree with as a person who looks at resumes. They say, leave off the dates.
I know, why did they say that, I wonder?
It's interesting. You know, a number of years ago, I had a conversation with a manager about this very thing.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we were talking about how quickly people leave jobs. And he viewed that as a good thing because he said they're doing career development.
Could be a bad thing.
But yeah, I didn't. To me, when I see a resume and a person has had 10 jobs in the last 5 years, it makes me afraid.
They might not stay very long.
Them, right?
Don't tell them
because
my company's
secret. They're churning through jobs very quickly. They're not being very successful.
They're not satisfied.
In one job.
Yeah.
So when I see a resume, I like to see like the person has stayed somewhere like 3 to 5 years, maybe moved up in the job there, things like that. To me, that kind of reassures me that they might be around long enough to really develop the skills.
Well, and if you put the dates in, you had all those jobs, you might not get hired. That's why they said to leave it off.
Yeah, maybe. But if you have been a person who's sort of stayed consistently in one company, I think having the dates really works for
you. But if you change too often, better not.
Yeah.
This is really conflicting because I have a friend that works for Google in HR, and she likes to see people changing up their jobs every couple to few years. They want to hire these versatile, these people who have work experience. But, I mean, I understand science perspective, and I'm just glad I don't work in HR where I'm, like, conflicting because I want to see stability at the same time, but I also want to see someone that's dynamic.
I think it just depends on your industry, maybe.
Mm.
I mean, in the business we are kind of working in here, there's a lot of skills that take time to really develop well.
Oh,
and so,
that's true.
Yeah, and so, you know, somebody who's just come in 6 months ago just won't be as good at editing or proofreading, for example, as somebody who's been doing it for like 2 or 3 years.
That's right.
And so that consistency can be important.
Well, I think it's important sometimes to have the dates on, but as you say, it depends on the job and so forth. But that's one of their suggestions. Those are the first three that we had, is that you should use the keywords and also don't say what you're responsible for, but say what you did, and then you need to let them know what you've been doing in the last 10 or 15 years. That's those 3 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly, and I think we've got some more points coming up now.
Got the next three. Let's start with number 10.
Eliminate articles, a, and the. They won't be missed, and it frees up space. 11. Switch from Times New Roman to a Tidy Sans Serif font. Arial, Verdana, Helvetica, Tahoma, and Calibri are standard yet modern. 12. Update style and punctuation. Double spacing after periods was an old typewriter convention, but word processing programs automatically put in extra space at the end of sentences to improve readability. Similarly, underlining is an old typewriter function that means bold, Liebert says. Use it sparingly, if at all.
Well, you've got 3 more to cover now. Number 10. What about that?
Well, it says eliminate articles. And here, we're not talking about articles like in the magazine.
No,
this
no,
article
not that
today.
Kind of article.
Because you shouldn't have whole articles in your resume anyway. What they're talking about here is the part of speech. And they clearly define this here. They say words like a, and the.
So make it too long. Make it concise, right?
Yeah, and I think the idea here is actually a very simple one. They're saying, like, keep your resume very short and clear and concise, so get rid of the extra words.
I like that simple idea that, yeah, you can make your CV streamlined, as we spoke about yesterday, but I do worry about grammar here.
Yes.
Don't go through your sentences and remove words like a and an and the. If that's going to completely change the grammar or make
some.
It incorrect.
Yeah, you have to use some. Right?
Yeah, I still want to see sentences that are correct English grammar.
That's true. I think maybe make the things shorter, not big long sentences maybe.
Yeah, I think the key, though, is that often in resumes people aren't actually writing correct formal sentences. They're actually using like point form bullet points, so they wouldn't
more
say,
like web things, you know, like you do on the web.
Yeah, right? They wouldn't say, for example, like, I was the manager of the HR department. They would say managed HR department. Right, so it keeps it very short and very concise.
Frees up space.
Yeah,
well, this next one is kind of a complicated thing because you even have to be careful what kind of font you use. Now, this is really, you know, mind-boggling, I could say. All these different fonts, what does that mean?
Well, this whole focus on fonts, it kind of became popular when Steve Jobs pointed out that he took a class on fonts, and he said it was the most important class he'd ever taken, right?
But he's not living now.
Well, that's right. This kind of became a thing people started to kind of talk about. Specifically here, a serif is kind of a little thing that hangs off the end of a letter. And you can actually see this when you're looking at different fonts or styles of typing, styles of typing out words. You can see some of them have these little fancy things on the ends of the letter, and those
little
are called
curly things on the end.
Yeah, they're called serifs. And so a sans serif font is a font that doesn't have those.
Sans means without, then.
That's right.
Without anything extra on them, just the plain letters.
That's right.
Not those kind, like we try to say, like the ancient British royal language or like the Bible used to be written in or something like that, right?
That's right. It's not actually like a word. It's just a thing on the letter that you're
fancy,
actually writing.
Very fancy,
a fancy thing. And so a sans serif font doesn't have that. And basically the idea here is that serif fonts, fancy-looking letters, looked better on paper, on things like newspapers or magazine
what
articles.
What thank you notes from somebody? You might buy a very fancy one.
Yeah, and the thinking is that now that we've sort of switched to digital, it's often easier to read sans serif fonts on little digital screens. And so what they are suggesting here is basically don't use the serif fonts like Times New Roman. Instead, use a clearer, more digitally friendly font. And then they list a bunch of different fonts that would be friendly.
When you can all do those all on your computer. You all try different ones, don't you?
Right. And I feel like it's easier on the eyes. You can actually get away with a smaller font, too. So you can compact your resume with more information if you're using a sans serif font.
Clear. They have to be clear.
It's legible,
yes. Don't you think?
Yeah, exactly. I think we're doing a resume so someone's going to look at it and read it, and we want to make it as easy as possible for them to like us and want to hire us.
Okay, but it used to be that everybody used the new Times Roman, didn't they?
Well, it was the default font on Microsoft Word for a lot of years. So when you opened Microsoft Word and you started typing, you were typing in that font. Now it has changed. Though, with newer versions of Word, they now use this font we list at the end, Calibri. So that is, of course, a sans serif font, a more modern, I guess, less fancy, easier to read font.
So that's one thing. Besides the information, you have to think of how it looks. So then you do have to update the style and even the punctuation.
Yeah, this is very interesting and something that, being from Britain, I'm not so sure about. Double spacing is when you press the space bar twice after a period or a full stop. And we learned here that this was something that used to happen when people were typing on typewriters. It's something that I still do in my personal files and stuff. We can't do here at work because our magazines all use single spacing. But I'm very used to doing that from Britain, where it is still the standard.
Well, what they kind of explain here is the reason for going to the single. They say in word processors now, they explain it here. They say by word processing programs automatically put in extra space at the end of sentences. And so if you're hitting the space bar twice, you're really placing three spaces between the sentences.
Yeah, don't use too much space then.
Yeah, and so when we use single, we actually do have kind of almost a double space, but we've only put one space in.
Well, and we used to underline things a lot more. Underlining, you could say, because you want to say that this is what I do, I'm, you know, and a mechanic, then you underline that so you know, you notice what it is. But it says that's an old thing. It means kind of bold, or you can just put that word in bold if you want people to look at it. But don't use it a lot. Use it sparingly. This word sparingly means don't use it very much.
Yeah, it means like, you know, just barely, just like use it just a little bit. I'm actually surprised that you would bold or underline even in a resume. I was always taught to not do that.
I'm a good something.
Well, you definitely want to use some of that desktop publishing format stuff. For example, like you want to bold your titles.
Your title, that's what I was thinking. Manager,
you know, your degree or whatever. You want to bold those subtitles. But I guess the idea here being, you know, you don't want to make it too fancy. You want it to be very clean looking.
There's too many bolds and it takes your eyes down there.
Well, things like bold and underline and italics and
But sometimes when you want to emphasize something, it's kind of nice to do that. But don't use it too much. Use it sparingly, right?
Sparingly.
Right.
Okay, so I think now we're going to look at another few points of advice.
Lose references available on request. It robs space and states the obvious. 14. Save your resume as a PDF in addition to a Word document. PDFs preserve formatting and are preferred by most employers, Liebert says. Include hyperlinks in the digital version, but not on printouts, so employers can click through to your online profiles and email. 15. Use a findable file name. A document titled resume may get lost in the shuffle. Include your name and the job title. 16. Consider the resume saved on your own computer as a template. It's no longer acceptable or effective to use the same resume with customized cover letters for each job opening. Customize your resume for every job you apply for, NLO advises.
Okay, so number 13.
Yeah, number 13 says, lose references available on request. And I did used to put this. I remember my teacher at school told me to put this at the bottom. But I agree here that it does just probably waste space that you can use in other ways.
I know, but people do. They used to put that in all the time, didn't they?
Yeah, we've been sort of through a transition here. At one point, Gordon is right. People definitely wrote references available on request.
Right.
All the time on the last line of their resume. But at one point there, people started saying, don't make people ask for the references. If you want to give references, just give references.
Right.
And if you don't want to, don't say anything about it.
Right. I always just leave it. I just throw it in there because I feel like one or two is always a good idea.
And they will ask you. They say, well, do you have any references? They'll ask you if they want them.
Yeah, they'll ask.
And they will check up on you anyway. If you don't ask, they're going to find out.
Yeah, now I think people frequently just kind of Google you.
Yeah, they do.
So on the bottom, instead of saying references available on request, you should say, Google me.
Have you ever Googled? I've never Googled you, Simon. Have you ever Googled
you?
Not
I have Googled
Simon.
Myself. No. Yeah, but we do Google people who apply here.
Yeah.
We Google and
searches. There's a lot of ways to search.
Yeah, we hire a private investigator to check out their...
Oh, well, that's scary.
That was the guy that was sweeping through my trash can the other day.
But anyway, you know, you have to save your resume as a PDF in addition to the Word document. And that's good because then people can't change things on it, right?
That's right. Yeah. We were talking about how PDFs are a cleaner version because sometimes people have different versions of Word, and when you print it out, all your alignment and spacing will be just thrown into disarray. And so when you have the PDF, what's displayed will be printed out. And
well, this hyperlink thing, you said you've received some recently that had hyperlinks. They were very handy, weren't they?
It was very handy. I mean, the big thing here, I think, that people have to distinguish between is that in some jobs we still use a paper resume.
Yes.
So you're giving someone an actual paper copy. But in other jobs we really just email our resume in. And when you do that, there are a few advantages. And one of them is this hyperlink, which basically means in the document or in the PDF, there are things you can click on that take you to different places on the internet.
That's good.
And it's actually a very convenient thing. So if you're making a resume but you know you're just going to email it, it's a great thing to add hyperlinks so that it's easy for people to find the things you're talking
about. That's a good tip. And number 15 says to use a findable file name.
Yeah, this is just so when your employer has the file on there, computer, they can just search for you easily. So I would recommend your name and maybe the job title, which I think it says here as well.
I like that little phrase, lost in the shuffle. That's a good idea.
Doris, you and I have spent hours trying to find people's resumes that have been sent in.
I know. Where is that one? It's lost in the shuffle.
That's right. It's somewhere in the email folder.
2 years ago, they applied for a job. Where is your name?
We're saying,
now?
Who was that person? Right, let me see if I can find it here. You know, so make it easy to find, easy to search for in the pile of resumes.
Well, number 16, what is that?
Oh, so I think this is really handy. You should save your resume as a template. And a template is just something that you can go back to, and it's like a copy.
You
can
find it easier, right?
Right, and you can use it over and over again. And also, it's like a master copy where you can take and subtract things and, you know, tailor it for the upcoming job that you want to apply for.
So you customize your resume for every job you apply for. Wow, that sounds like people are doing a lot of different jobs. They're not staying very long. Some people stay 5, 10, 20 years at a job. But if you're going to change a lot, you have to do this.
Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, I guess the thing they're really saying here is it's something that will age me. You'll know how old I am. In the past, when people wanted a job, they would sort of print off 100 resumes, print off 100 cover letters, and they would just mail them out to everybody. And what they're saying here is when you're going to apply for a specific job, you should have a resume that's been sort of custom made for that job.
Well, it's just because, like, sometimes at a job you have duties that are relevant to the new job that's coming up. So, you know, you can write like 6 things that you did at this job, but then when you tailor it, you subtract maybe 3 other things.
Right. You have to change it a little bit. But we've got a lot of good tips on here, and use the ones that you think will be helpful. But I think it's good to brush up on the way we can make a modern resume. And this has been a good lesson. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Thanks for having
us.
Yeah. And when you want to apply for a job, Simon Stops will look at it. Be sure that you look at all these kind of things on here. Right. Thanks for being here today, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye.